Tonight's our first opportunity to begin a new study called The Names of God. And rather than beginning with actually covering one of God's names tonight, I thought we would have an introductory study. So this is lesson one, and I've just entitled it, What's in a Name? Okay? So here we go. Let's find out from some of you English types. I'll read this, you tell me the source. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Who can identify the source of that quote? Shakespeare, sure, good. Which play? Excuse me? Romeo and Juliet, good. And who said it? Juliet, very good. Okay. Is it true? Is it true? Would it?
Sure.
I think so, right? So do names matter? Do names matter? Let's talk about it. Yeah, I heard maybe sometimes, huh? What's in a name? And that's what we're going to talk tonight, this issue of what is in a name. When we open up the scriptures, and not even only in the scriptures, but in life in general, sometimes we find that names have meaning, okay? Now, that meaning may be inaccurate. For example, who can tell me what Philadelphia means? The city of what? How many of you have ever been to the Philadelphia airport? Then you know that's not true. I would rather go to Chicago any day than be in Philly's airport. I think it's one of the most hostile places I've ever been, okay? And how it got named the city of brotherly love, somebody was confused, okay? Other times, there are names, right, that are somewhat obscure. How about the Ohio State Buckeyes? Who can tell me what a Buckeye is? What's a Buckeye, Chris? It's related to a flower. It's actually quite more rugged and manly than a flower, okay? So I'm trying to be as kind as I can. Way in the back, V, I think. Yeah, it would be a tree. Yeah, so there's a buckeye tree that the early settlers used, and it has nuts on it that look like large acorns, and that tree was just a very rugged tree. They used it when people were building different boats on the Erie Canal, that kind of thing, and Ohio became known as the Buckeye State. And so sometimes the meaning may be obscure. I don't think a lot of people know that, okay? And there's other times where the meaning may be completely accurate, right? For example, what does the name Jesus mean? Sure, Jehovah is salvation, the Lord saves, right? That's why in Matthew 1:21, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So names don't always have meaning. But we know that names often have meaning. In fact, sometimes we know that when people change their names or have their names changed, it may signify a change of identity. Not always. You know, for example, my dad changed our name when my dad was growing up. Just take the name Mazak, cut it in half, and put JSK in the middle. A lot of the Eastern European names don't have a lot of vowels. They're heavy on consonants, okay? And my dad got out of the service, and he was just tired of no one being able, you know, how do you pronounce M-A-Z-J-S-K-A-K? And it's very difficult, and he just filed paperwork, pull three letters out, glue it together, and thus he was the first Mazak, okay? So when we get things in the mail, you know, for a small fee, we'll trace your family tree. I tend to ignore him, okay. So that really wasn't meaningful, but in the Bible, sometimes it is, right? Abraham became Abraham. He was the father of many, and so the Lord gave that promise in Genesis chapter 17, verse 4 and 5. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abraham, for your name shall be Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. Interesting, covenant is mentioned there. That's going to be the key word that we consider this Sunday, Lord willing, in Hebrews. Different covenant, but same principle. Not only do we have Abraham being changed to Abraham, the father of many, we have, I think many of you know, Simon, who then becomes Peter. Peter meaning perhaps a stone or perhaps a rock. The Lord said in John 1:42, Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. And again, that meaning stone or rock. Okay? So names often have meaning, not always. We tend to name kids just whatever. We like the name, not suggesting that's wrong. But sometimes names have meaning. Sometimes a change of name may signify a change of identity. And thirdly, names often reveal important information about a person. Now again, we tend to take names somewhat randomly, but at least sometimes, biblically, there's important information that's revealed about a person. What have we been studying in, that'll be my second example. First example, Nabal. I think many of you know means fool, right? Do you remember what happened there with David and his men? Nabal's married to Abigail, if I'm thinking correctly, 1 Samuel 25:25. Please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal. She's, if I'm thinking right, she's talking about her husband, right? Which is not a blessing. Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. Foolishness is with him, and Nabal means foolishness. And so that gives us a glimpse into his character. And a second example would be from our study in Hebrews. I just picked this one because Melchizedek is still on my mind. And it says in Hebrews 7:2, we've studied this, that Melchizedek was king of Salem. Salem, similar to Shalom, right? So peace. And that his name, Melchizedek, remember we talked about Melech king and Zedekiah, righteousness. He was the king of righteousness, and that's documented in Hebrews 7:2. And I would argue that's a picture of Jesus, because the only way to have peace is to be declared righteous. And thus Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Remember Romans 5:1, Holman Christian Standard Bible. Since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I would argue there is no other way to have peace with God other than being declared righteous by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the name Melchizedek thus helps us to think about the Lord Jesus. Names often reveal important information about a person. Number four, so why are we having a study on the names of God? Because to know God's name is to know God. You know, it's not really kind of like us. My mom and dad, the best I know, don't know what my name means in Greek. Do any of you know in Greek? I didn't mean to catch anybody out. One who is watchful or watchful one. I'm pretty confident my parents didn't know Greg means that. Did any other Greg here know that? Okay, it's just not commonly known. Most of us, again, we are just names that mean whatever. But when we study God's names, we are going to learn about God and be reminded. So, for example, in John 17:26, Jesus said, "I have made your name known to them and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them." So here's Jesus praying to his Father, "I have made your name known to them." Well, that obviously means I have made you, Father, known to them. It's not like, "Hey, I want you all to know my Father's name. He has like a cool name." Obviously, that's not what it means. It's Jesus is revealing the Father to them. To reveal his name is to reveal him. Okay? So we're making the point, right, that to know the Lord's name is to know the Lord. Maybe even a better example, Proverbs 18:10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. the righteous runs into it and is safe. That doesn't mean when life is hard, you recite the name of the Lord and somehow that helps you, okay? It's that when life is hard, you need a strong tower, right? Back in the ancient world, they didn't have gunpowder. Now, run into a tower, they blow it up, it doesn't matter. Back then, that wasn't the case. So if you could be in a strong tower, you are in a place of safety. You say, so where do I go when life is really, really hard? I go to the Lord. He's my strong tower. You say, but this doesn't say the Lord is the strong tower. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. That's correct, because his name is his person. And so we're going to be studying names of the Lord every Wednesday night for at least a while, Lord willing, because that'll help us to understand the Lord better, to worship him more, to be encouraged by him. And so that'll be what we're doing in our new study. I thought I'd begin with an introduction tonight on what's in a name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come together this evening and consider biblically the importance of names, not just for curiosity's sake, but Lord, ultimately so we can know you better, that we can love you more, that we can appreciate, Lord, to a greater degree, just what a great God you are. And we pray even as we meet in our separate groups now, that you would encourage us as we pray together, that you would bless us, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.